So the big question is this. How are gigging musicians like us, who don't make any money streaming, who are spending money from our own pockets, how do we treat our music careers as online businesses in a way that lets us get our music and the things we believe in out to the world, yet still remain profitable? That is the question, and this podcast will give you the answer. My name is Jared Judge, and welcome to the Gigging Musician Podcast.
What's up, gigging pros? It's Jared Judge. Welcome back to another episode of the Gigging Musician Podcast. Okay, I wanted to share something that might help you have a little more success booking corporate gigs and weddings and the private gigs. And actually, I believe this will also help you book more public shows too. And this was based off of a discussion that I was having with one of our full-time Music Academy Platinum members, Ken, about, you know, why has Extreme Strings had quick success in Denver? And, you know, of course, I mentioned this back when we were talking about the corporate gig challenge, about the concept of a bell curve, which, if you're not familiar with the bell curve, it's basically a graph that people plot out that starts low and then rises up in a curve fashion and then rises back down in a curve fashion so that it looks like a bell, like the Liberty Bell. And so I talked about this bell curve in terms of the song selection that you play. And I mentioned that on one side of the bell curve, the really far left side where you'll get fewer bookings is niche covers. This is like if you run an Ozzy Osbourne tribute band and there's only a small percentage of people who are diehard Ozzy fans. And if you're an Ozzy fan, I salute you. But the thing is, most corporate gigs, corporate event planners wouldn't hire an Ozzy Osbourne tribute band because it won't please the entirety of their guests. Like, not all of their guests will love Ozzy, and you may actually offend some of them by bringing Ozzy Osbourne. On the other side of the bell curve, the far right, which is still low, right? This is the part that slopes down. Still not going to get too many bookings, is unfortunately originals. So, you know, original music is great. And if you're a songwriter, once again, I salute you. However, a corporate event planner is not looking to try something new at their corporate event. They want something that's tried and true, something that they know is going to please their audience. And while your original music might be fantastic, I've never heard it. Corporate event planner has never heard it. And their guests have never heard it either. So it's seen as a risky business to bring you in for a high-stakes corporate event that they're spending tens, hundreds of thousands, possibly even millions of dollars on. So that's why, you know, originals are on the right side of the bell curve. And then as we get to the top middle section of the bell curve, smack dab in between niche covers and originals, that is where the money lies, in the crowd pleasers. Now, this shouldn't really be new to you because I think I've talked about this bell curve in the past. But there is another bell curve, a secondary bell curve, that you don't really want to be directly in the center top of. And this is, in Ken's opinion, and I do kind of agree with him, this is why Extreme Strings has had fast success in a new city, which is that I'm not on the top of this secondary bell curve. Secondary bell curve would be the type of ensemble or type of act that you actually are. And I'm not saying that you need to change what instrument you play, because that's huge. That's like asking you to, you know, be a cat. Well, you could learn a new instrument, but you can't learn to be a cat. So maybe that's not the perfect analogy. However, let me explain the bell curve and then we'll see what you can do about it to shift what you're thinking. So the secondary bell curve is the type of act that you are. And we're actually going to start at the top center of the bell curve with what is most frequently seen by people in general. So I want you to think, what is the most common instrument that a common instrument and configuration somebody has heard a live musician in? 5 seconds. Okay. If you said solo acoustic guitarist who sings, well, you're probably right. Because I believe in the gigging world, that is one of the most common types of acts. Simply because, you know, that's the instrument that most people learn. You know, guitars, I mean, I don't know the hard data behind this, but I imagine that the sales of guitars outnumber the sales of any other instrument. So that may be piano, but even then, I think it does outnumber piano, you know, by a significant factor. So people are used to hearing solo acoustic guitars and hearing people sing with it. That's just the most common top center of the bell curve. And so the problem that creates is that it's expected. And when I did the corporate gig challenge, I mentioned that these corporate event planners, one of the things they're looking for is an element of surprise. They're looking for uniqueness, an experience that will cause their guests to be, to have a memorable experience, to remember it. And so the problem, you know, not that you don't play guitar and sing beautifully and excitedly, but if you're just playing cover songs the way that everybody else does, like, I'm actually going to call out another marketer in my space where they have an ad saying, if you know 3 chords, you can get a gig. Well, sure, but it's not going to be a very good gig. You know, it's going to be one of those $50 in a tip jar kind of gig. And you're putting yourself right at the top of the bell curve, top center of the bell curve. And in this bell curve, it is not the most ideal thing to be at the top center because, again, it's expected to the degree that it's overdone in these corporate events and weddings, and it doesn't stand out. So how can we fix this? Now, let's talk about the other ends of this bell curve because this dog wants to be on the podcast. What's up, puppy? This dog, I swear, every time I walk by this house, this dog just wants to tear me to pieces. I get it, though. So anyway, the other sides of this bell curve, I don't exactly know what goes on which side, but in corporate events, we can say that the other ends of this bell curve are like, one end is a type of act that is so niche and unique that it actually wouldn't be appropriate for corporate events. So this might, like, have you ever heard of Burning Man, the festival? It's like a art and hippie-ish festival that takes place in the desert, and people make these gigantic art installations, and some of which are musical instruments, like, I don't know, a dragon that breathes fire that has a keyboard that when you play the keyboard, plays a note and plays fire. You know, that's the kind of instrument that I'm talking about on one end of the bell curve that has a very low chance of getting booked for a corporate event. Because I don't know many corporate events that want a fire-breathing dragon keyboard at their corporate event. Actually sounds pretty cool. But again, kind of like Ozzy Osbourne covers, it's niche. It's not necessarily going to be crowd-pleasing enough to the point of making it a... Well, it'll definitely make it memorable, but it's not going to please everybody. And I think if it were to be hired, it would be for its uniqueness, for the fact that it would be like, you know, hiring stilt walkers to walk through the event space. It's unique and different, and they hired it because it's unique and different. Then on the other end of the spectrum would be more like standard musical configurations that just don't work for corporate events. And I don't know. Let me think about this, because I actually have never really talked through this before, but, you know, I'm thinking like a symphony orchestra has a very low chance of getting hired for a corporate event. Like, there's just no precedent for a large 100-piece symphony orchestra, string section, winds, brass, percussion, conductor at a corporate event, right? It's a standard musical configuration. It makes a lot of money in the symphony hall, but almost totally inappropriate for a corporate event. And so I'll say that lies on the opposite end of the spectrum. So in this bell curve, you do not want to be on the edges if you want corporate gigs and weddings and other high-paying gigs. But you also don't want to be right at the center at the top. There is less money in there because it's not unique. So where do you want to be? You want to be slightly off center, somewhere between the edge and the middle on either side. And the way to do that without changing your instrument or without changing the fact that you're a singer is by introducing some unique element to your playing that other people aren't doing if they're in the top of the bell curve. In fact, one of my mentors calls it the prolific zone. The prolific zone is the spot that is not what everyone is doing, but it's also the spot that's not so out there and crazy. It's somewhere right in the middle, like right in between those two. And there's actually a graph in one of his books, I think it's actually in Expert Secrets, it's by Russell Brunson, that shows the bell curve. And he said, the money is in the prolific zone, and there are two prolific zones, one on either side of the top of the bell curve, but it's not at the top of the bell curve, and it's not way at the edges. So what are some unique elements you can add to your performance that would take you to the prolific zone? For my acts, like, I can only talk from my experience. I could maybe make suggestions for you, but like from my experience, electric violin with backing tracks is in the prolific zone because, one, it's not at the top of the bell curve. Not everybody is doing this. You know, violin is novel and unique for a corporate event. It's also novel and unique for a violin to be able to play Led Zeppelin or Taylor Swift or even EDM like dead mouse and Cascade. So that is why that this act is not at the top of the bell curve. Backing tracks is also kind of not at the top of the bell curve because most, you know, musicians typically don't use tracks. So that does take me away from the crowded top of the bell curve and put me a little off center. And so the other thing is that, you know, violin in general is not super top of the bell curvy because, you know, as far as like gigging is concerned, if you were to go to a bar and hear your nearest band, odds are you would not hear a violin. You would expect to hear them in a concert hall, like a symphony center, and not in a bar. But here's this unique instrument, violin, out of place in a situation that is typically occupied by a more common instrument. The other thing, though, is that I've actually gotten a lot of feedback. Even recently, I sponsored another NACE event, National Association for Catering and Events, sponsored another one of those by playing electric violin with the DJ. And I got feedback on like the unique shape of my instrument. So if you've got an instrument that has a unique feature, a unique shape, unique look to it, even unique sound, that could take you away from the top of the bell curve. So that, I think, is what is working for me on the electric violin aspect. The reason why I'm not on the edges of the bell curve that make no money is because, one, it's not a fire-breathing dragon keyboard. People know that it's a violin. Like, it's not a new instrument. The sound that comes out of it is a standard violin sound. I've just added a ton of reverb. And then on the other end of the bell curve, why I'm not there is that I'm not playing classical music on the violin, right? It's not a standard way of playing the instrument. And that standard way would take me way down on the bottom right of the bell curve because not too many corporate events want just a standard classical configuration. Now, that being said, standard classical configurations are great for corporate events, especially when they're looking to do an elegant, you know, cocktail hour where suit and tie or tuxedo is appropriate. So I guess one of the other things is like, these are not hard and fast rules. These apply differently to different situations. I'm just trying to make some generalizations to make your life easier because what you want to do is you want to find somewhere between the bottom of that bell curve and the top of the bell curve without having to change your instrument. So can you add different songs? Ken, I think, is a master of this. He is able to play such a wide variety of songs done really well, to the point where I think that brings him off the top of the bell curve because, you know, everybody can play Wonderwall on acoustic guitar. Not everybody can play, I don't know, I can't remember his exact song list, but I know that he does like Ed Sheeran and Red Hot Chili Peppers, and he goes all across genres with that. And I think that's one way to take yourself off the top of the bell curve is by expanding your song list and including genres that are unexpected. So that's one way. Another way is, could you add other elements to like the instrument that you play? I'm not saying to modify your instrument, but like, can you add additional sounds to it? Like, you know, I add a ton of reverb. Not that I'm saying that reverb is unique by any stretch of the imagination, but a violin with reverb, that is different. So can you do some effects processing? I know a lot of guitarists sometimes go into looping. That could work if done tastefully. That could be another unique aspect of it. Some singers, you know, they use a harmonizer on their voice. That is another way to add uniqueness and bring you off of the top of the bell curve. Backing tracks would be an easy way to do that. And I know like backing track websites like karaokeversion.com, you can remove the guitar part from your backing tracks. So you are the one playing the guitar. And so that is the secondary bell curve. And so to recap, there are two bell curves. The first bell curve, this is a long podcast episode. The first bell curve, you do want to be on the top of if you want corporate events and weddings, which is you want to play crowd-pleasing songs, right? Ken plays Red Hot Chili Peppers. That is a crowd pleaser. Most people know who the Red Hot Chili Peppers are. You know, we don't want to play niche covers, or at least we don't want to only play niche covers. And we also don't want to only play originals. So be on the top of that bell curve. I should start naming those. I'll get back to you on that. And the second bell curve is the uniqueness of your act. We do not want to be on the top of this bell curve. This is where every solo acoustic musician is, at the top of that bell curve. And you also don't want to be on the edges of the bell curve and play a fire-breathing dragon keyboard. And we also don't want to play, symphony orchestra. So be somewhere in between the edges and the middle with that one. So if you need some help on that, let me know. I'd be more than happy to help you brainstorm this. I did get my master's degree in orchestra conducting, so I actually can coach on artistry as well. Not many people know that. So happy to chat with you one-on-one if you're interested. In fact, let me open up my calendar. If you're interested in chatting more about this, go to fulltimemusicacademy.com/call and book a free session with me. And there's no pressure to buy anything. I just want to help you. So that's that for today. Hope you got some good stuff out of this long podcast episode. And thanks for tuning into another episode of the Gigging Musician Podcast. Remember, your music will not market itself. Bye, everybody.
Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Gigging Musician Podcast. If you liked this episode, then please take a screenshot on your phone and tag me and post on Instagram, letting me know what you liked about this episode and let me know what you would like to hear in future episodes. That will help me serve you better. Also, I would love to invite you to my upcoming 5-day full-time music challenge. Just give me 5 short days and I will show you a step-by-step plan to make real consistent income with your music. It's totally free, and you can register on fulltimemusicchallenge.com. That's fulltime, one word, no dash in between, fulltimemusicchallenge.com. Thanks again, and I hope to see you in my next challenge.